is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. I hope you are well. I hope you are safe. I hope you're enjoying the basketball. I hope your bracket is doing okay. I hope that you could win some money. I don't care what you're doing, where you're at. Thank you for being here. If nobody told you thank you today, I did. I'll be here with you in this spot for the next 4 hours. This is when the show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Thank you to our producer in New York holding it down for us today, Ryan Botcher. And thank you again to you, because if you ain't here, there is no show. We got a lot to get into. First of all, to get us all up to date on the 16 games we've had today, the games yesterday, and about 20 minutes from now, we're going to have a chat with Scott Docterman from The Athletic. We got a guest who's going to join us later on in the show. He covers all things McNeese basketball from Lake Charles, and we'll get into that later on in the show. McNeese's kind of got everybody excited as they move forward to get ready to take on Purdue. Hey, Ron, you can let the music. It's Friday, man. Let's get the music. There we go. Yeah, want some Jay-Z and some energy. We got a lot to get into. I'll give you an update on the games that have taken place, the games that we'll see. Damn it, we got a good one right now. Ole Miss is trying to hold on and beat North Carolina. The current score right now, 63-59. We got Maryland leading Grand Canyon, 42-30. In about 50 minutes from now, we'll have the Florida Gators taking on Norfolk State. They will probably obliterate them. And so we'll keep you up to date with everything going on in the tournament. You want to be a part of the show? It's real easy. You can call up anytime. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You can always listen on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. You got SiriusXM. It's channel 375. And if you got a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. And it is more than college basketball. Aaron Rodgers was hanging out in Pittsburgh. Deion Sanders isn't happy with some of the stories coming out about his son. Steph Curry, he has a bruised pelvis. It's not something that anybody wants, but he has a bruised pelvis. Anyway, Steph Curry is going to get an unwanted, unrequested vacation. Mark Cuban letting everybody know he wasn't in favor of Luka Doncic getting traded. I think we all would have known that. And then the matchup that we talked about last night. We're finally going to get this matchup over the weekend. I cannot wait. Coach Cal and Rick Pitino. That'll be a lot of fun. Rick Pitino keeping it real simple last night, wearing that black suit as St. John's came back to beat up. I mean, they beat up on Omaha. They ran him out of the gym at the end of the game. And, of course, at the end of the show, we'll go through quite a few things that took place this day in sports history. It has been March 21st all day long, and so we have so much more to get into. Ryan Botcher, it's been quite some time, man. How you doing? You good?
I'm doing great. I'm loving the March Madness so far.
How's your bracket looking? I know it's not perfect, but is it?
Yeah, let's not talk about Clemson losing yesterday. Yeah, let's not do that.
Boy. Oh, boy. Well, you and everybody else, right?
I had them going pretty far.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right, so you're not going to check your bracket the rest of the tournament. You're pretty much cooked already.
No, one of them is absolutely cooked. The other one, it's not doing that bad. I got Auburn still.
Okay. All right. Well, when we bring on our guest who covers McNeese, we can ask him what his thoughts are on what McNeese is doing and what they started to do by already, beating Clemson. We'll see what they do tomorrow as they take on Purdue. And I know a lot of people looking at McNeese going, hey, McNeese can go out there and beat Purdue. And of course they can. Of course they can. And we had some games earlier today. Some of them were beatdowns and some of them were close. You know what? Let's get to the beatdown already, okay? To the shock of absolutely nobody, Duke won its first tournament game. Cooper Flagg was out there. Cooper Flagg was able to play. His ankle was fine. He's doing windmill dunks in the layup line. I think his ankle was just okay. Duke went out there and beat St. Mary's 93-49. Now, that's not beating up on somebody. That is absolute abuse. But this is what we expected from Duke. We talked about it last night. 20% of people who filled out a bracket has Duke winning the championship. 27, that's one out of every four, more than one out of every fourth person. I don't know what more than a quarter of a person is, but more than one out of four people believe that Duke will be national champions. Next up for Duke, they got Baylor. Good for them. Anyway, Cooper Flagg in his return only had to play 22 minutes. He still had 14 points, 7 rebounds, and 4 assists. The Duke Blue Devils were on a roll. There was no debate about what was happening here. I want you to listen to the final call of the game, courtesy of Westwood One.
The Blue Devils hoping to get to yet another Final Four. 17 of them in history. This is the first step for the Blue Devils. Spencer Hubbard with control of the ball. A full team effort from Duke in every way in the opening round. 93-49, the Blue Devils dispatch Mount St. Mary's.
Yeah, they beat them. They smacked them. That was nothing but a warm-up. And so they got Baylor up next. And Cooper Flagg, of course, he spoke after the game. Of course, Cooper Flagg spoke. And Cooper Flagg was just like, listen, man, it was all about execution. It was nothing about how we beat an inferior team. Listen to this.
I thought we kind of just came out, executed our game plan, did what we were trying to do. We didn't take them lightly. We came out, we executed, and we just jumped out to it. But, yeah, I think it was great execution by us.
Great execution. Yeah. I mean, I like the media training. Like, Botcher, what do you think was really going through his head about why they beat him? What do you think was really in the back of his brain?
They were horrible and we're a better team.
Yeah. As simple as that. Can't say that out loud. You have to be dignified. You got to go out there and win with class. So an easy way to say this is, hey, yeah, we went out there and we executed. He didn't say that team sucks in comparison to us. We're Duke. We're not supposed to lose to these bums. Anyway, speaking of losing, Baylor went out there and beat Mississippi State. Okay, Mississippi State was trying to battle back into this game. Baylor, a 9 seed, Mississippi State, an 8. And this one basically came down to the wire. It came down to a 3-point shot by Mississippi State to potentially tie the game. That led to a whole lot of nothing. It led to air. They missed the shot. And so VJ Edgecombe, this man had just 4 points at halftime. Baylor still came out here on top. You know what? Let's go ahead and listen to the final call as Baylor beat Mississippi State and they could thank a missed 3-pointer.
Point 2 left. Mississippi State down by 3. Matthews fakes it to Hubbard, sends it to Hubbard, who will catch and heave from the midline. They'll wave it off. It would not have counted. And this long and winding road to start the day in the 8-9 game goes to Baylor.
VJ Edgecombe, at the end of the day, he was able to pour in more points in the second half. I told you about the 3 that he had early. He finished with 14. Do the math, that's 11 in the second half. But if Baylor is going to play like this, they're going to play inconsistent. They got no chance versus Duke. No disrespect. That's just the reality. Another game that took place earlier today as we continue to march on through all of the madness. Alabama, they held on to beat Robert Morris. Every now and then it looked like Alabama was going to let them get back into it. Every now and then it looked like Robert Morris was going to hit them with a punch to surprise everybody. They did not. Alabama held on. And their head coach, Nate Oates, Mr. Colorful Suit Man, Nate Oates was like, man, we won, but we sucked. Listen to this.
You know, a little disappointed in our defensive rebounding, but I'll say this, our guys were resilient. We said coming into this tournament that we're going to welcome some adversity. Hopefully it's not self-inflicted. I thought tonight some of it was with the rebounds we gave up, but whether it's missed shots, whether it's referee calls, whether who cares what it is. If we face some adversity, let's welcome it. Let's handle it with the right attitude.
What is he supposed to sound like? The guy's team, they just won. They could have lost. It was too close for comfort. And speaking of too close for comfort, we still got a good one going on right now. As North Carolina is trying to show its own life, they trail Ole Miss 66-61. It's a little more than a minute to go in the game right now. 66-63. North Carolina now trailing by three with about a minute left in the game. And so for North Carolina, a lot of people had a lot of thoughts as to why they even got into the tournament. Via the first four, they're able to go out and beat up on San Diego State to get into the tournament. And now they're playing it close against Ole Miss. It's going to take a comeback for them to get back into this game or ultimately win it. So we'll keep you up to date as this one continues on. We had some other games earlier today. You want to talk about a close one. This was a fun watch in and of itself, a little bit of a shock for everybody involved. And thinking about what we saw as Colorado State walked away with a victory themselves, made everybody kind of go, Colorado State, the threes were falling. They were able to pick up a victory and advance as they knocked off Memphis 78-70. Penny Hardaway may have to look for something else to do. This man has been to the tournament seven times and has advanced once. I have no idea whether or not Penny Hardaway can still go out there and play, but it's not looking all that good for his tenure in Memphis. I want you to take a listen to the final call. Colorado State knocking off Memphis. This is courtesy of Westwood One.
Lake will dribble out near midcourt. Rams players exchanging high fives. Memphis players begin to walk to the bench. Down to two, down to one, and for a second straight year, the Colorado State Rams have won an NCAA tournament game. The Rams upset Memphis 78-70, and Colorado State is on to the second round.
And Penny Hardaway is on his way back to the beach. That's just what it is. And so now Colorado State, it looks like they're going to take on Maryland. I don't know if they're going to get past Maryland, but Colorado State awaits the winner between Maryland and Grand Canyon. That game is currently in action right now. Maryland leads 51-36. I would assume that Maryland is going to go ahead and advance. Some of the other games that have finished up today, let me give you a quick rundown. St. Mary's knocked off Vanderbilt. That was a close one, 59-56. We just talked about Colorado State beating Memphis, 78-70. Baylor beat Mississippi State, 75-72. We just heard from Nate Oates as Alabama beat Robert Morris, 90-81. Duke put the smacking on St. Mary's. We heard from Cooper Flagg, 93-49. And then Iowa State really beating up and down on Lipscomb, 82-55. We're going to keep you up to date on all of the action as the day, as the night continues on. Right now, Ole Miss and North Carolina are still rolling ahead. Ole Miss, the Rebels, lead the Tar Heels 69-64. It's less than a minute to go in the game. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll keep you up to date with everything going on in March Madness. I told you in a few minutes, we'll have a chat with Scott Docterman, who covers all things college basketball via The Athletic. So we'll have that chat. We're going to tap in with someone who is covering McNeese basketball to just talk about the wild ride that they have been on. It seems like this year McNeese is everybody's favorite a media darling. So we're going to tap in with someone who covers the team there. We'll talk some NBA as well. Steph Curry, I told you, with the bruised pelvis. Got some NFL news as Aaron Rodgers is making a stop in Pittsburgh to have a chat with the Steelers brass. So we have a lot to do, a lot to get into. On the other side, Scott Docterman from The Athletic. You are locked in to the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast, on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you, coast to coast, on the Infinity Sports Network. March Madness is upon us. Yeah, we had basketball yesterday. We had basketball the day before that. We had basketball all day today. We got basketball tomorrow. We got basketball. I can't keep up with all of the basketball. So now it's time to talk to someone who somehow, some way is. Covers all things college basketball for The Athletic. Joining us right now is Scott Docterman. Scott, how are you, man?
I'm doing great on this Friday. How about yourself?
Listen, I'm living and breathing. I don't have a complaint in the world, Scott. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet.
And thank you for the time. I know this is a very busy time of the year, especially right now. We're looking at Ole Miss trying to hold on versus North Carolina. It looks like they're not going to be able to, well, looks like North Carolina isn't going to be able to bounce back. What are your thoughts on how up and down they've been and proving people right and proving people wrong and even getting up to this point where it looks like they're going to take it now?
Yeah, North Carolina's had a tough year. I mean, I think you look at what they have or haven't done. I mean, this was a team that was expected to compete at a very high level, if not for the national title. It should have been at least a Sweet 16 caliber team and what it was put together, yet didn't really have any impressive wins. I think it had one quad one win all year. A lot of people believe that it shouldn't have gotten into the tournament or and I think that that's a fair discussion point. I mean, they won a game against San Diego State, which matters, but I don't know that this, you know, what happens in a one-game scenario or in what happens in the first weekend of the NCAA tournament validates or invalidates a season. Sometimes you just have a bad game, and sometimes things just don't work out, or other times you're really hot or it's a great matchup. So in North Carolina's case, it's kind of like with Kansas, even though Kansas was a little bit better during the season. These are two blue blood programs that have a lot of equity. And in this new world where it's basically free agency starting Monday, they're going to go out and be able to get their guys. And it's not like you have to build it from within like you used to.
And it is officially all final as the Rebels beat the Tar Heels 71-64. A team that didn't have to worry about this a little more than an hour ago is Duke, as they put the beat down on Mount St. Mary's, a final score there, 93-49. We have a CBS says that 27% of people who filled out brackets via their platform had Duke winning it all. Cooper Flagg certainly looked like he was perfectly A-OK and fine. What are your thoughts on how far Duke is going to take things?
You know, I think with a healthy Cooper Flag, I think they got an opportunity to go all the way to the Monday night. I mean, this is a very talented team. He is the most talented player in the country. I have a few other people that are in that discussion, but certainly he is in it. And, you know, he got hurt last week at the ACC tournament. They've held him out. But the fact that he was able to come in and play, even though it was against an overmatched opponent in Mount St. Mary's, I mean, they could have beat them probably as badly, even if he didn't play, but you want to get him out there moving around. And he was 6-12 from the field, 22 minutes, scored 14 points. That tells me that he's feeling pretty good about himself. And, you know, and you got the next round against Baylor, which could be a challenge. Baylor is not on an even day. I mean, if they played 10 times, Duke would win 8 or 9 for sure, but you never know when that one might pop up. And when you got Scott Drew as the head coach, a team, you know, a guy that's won a national title, things can happen in a heartbeat. So I do like Duke's chances of going pretty deep in the tournament.
Scott Docterman is joining us courtesy of The Athletic. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. That'll definitely be a fun one. We have two. Well, we got more than two. But if we look at a Cooper Flag on Duke, he's one of he is going to be the number one overall pick. And then we saw Baylor today. VJ Edgecombe didn't necessarily have the greatest of games. is Baylor going to get ran out of the building too? Are they going to put up a fight? They didn't look all that good today in holding on.
You know, it's just when you get to these kind of games, sometimes it's a crapshoot. I think Baylor can compete. Now, can they compete possession by possession for 40 minutes? That could be a real challenge for this team that hasn't really put it all together yet this year. They were kind of a modest team in the Big 12, had some, you know, got into the tournament. This is probably where their final destination lies, is against a team like, that's why you're an 8 and they're a 1, and you think that would be the case, but we have seen teams put things together in short order, again with a coach like Scott Drew, who's taken teams, won championships. Anything is possible. I'm just not sure that this is the year and this is the team that is capable of doing that for Baylor.
Well, so who do you think poses the best and biggest challenge to Duke? I know we got Florida getting ready to beat up on Norfolk State in a few minutes. So who do you think has the best odds of knocking them off?
Yeah, I guess looking, big picture at the bracket there. I mean, I would say, even in the Sweet 16, getting to Oregon or Arizona, I've seen enough of both of them where I think that they're, again, one day, one game, they're shooting, Duke isn't, maybe something can happen, but it's not something I would predict. I do think out of the bracket, though, the BYU may have the best of the opportunities. They're a 6, they're playing Wisconsin. That should be an even matchup. And, and of course, Alabama, who has one of the weirdest games coming up of the season, when you got high-flying Alabama, the leading scoring team in the country, against one of the slowest, if not the slowest, tempo team in St. Mary's. That's going to be a real fascinating style. Like styles make fights. Well, styles make matchups here. But for some reason, I like the way BYU plays, but I don't, unless they get into a game with Alabama and Alabama can really run up and down the floor unchecked, I think Duke's a Final Four team for sure. And then once you get into the Final Four, that's, it depends on your night. And fouls have a big impact on that too.
Most definitely. Well, Scott, one of the teams that we'll see in action tomorrow as well, sitting number one in the South region, that happens to be the Auburn Tigers. A lot of ups, a lot of downs, especially heading into the tournament. I feel like they've garnered a lot of criticism for their play as of late, and even some criticism due to how old a lot of their guys are. What do you think the Tigers are in store for as they get ready to take on Creighton and possibly beyond?
This is one of those, I think, out of the second round matchups for the number one seeds, this one to me is one that they've got to be careful with, because Creighton is a very good team. It's well coached. I mean, Ryan Kalkbrenner is tremendous. Yesterday they shot 57% against Louisville, and so they're feeling it from the rim there. And they were almost 47% from three. And Jemiah Neal, 29 points. I think this could be a challenge. Auburn is going to have to come out and play with kind of a renewed energy and focus that it's kind of, I think it got right before the SEC tournament. I think you saw a team that was, playing as well as anybody, and then it just kind of slumped down. Maybe it felt like it was too good. Well, won by 20 points yesterday against Alabama State, but Alabama State had a 13. They had a 13-point lead on Alabama State, and it got cut to 1, and it was only kind of a 9-0 run at the end of the first half that really kind of put them back in control. So if you're going to do that with a 16 seed, you can't play around with a 9 with the kind of players that Creighton has. And, with Greg McDermott coaching them, with the players they have, Stephen Ashworth had 22 points. This is a dangerous team. I mean, they went into Kentucky and blew out Louisville. And I don't think that they would have any problems lining up and competing possession by possession with Auburn.
And Scott Docterman is here with us, courtesy of The Athletic. You talk about coaching. I was eagerly awaiting this last night. I know St. John's didn't have the hottest start against Omaha, and they blew them out of the water. And then we have this inevitable matchup, or not inevitable, because who expected Arkansas to just go out there and beat Kansas? But we got Rick Pitino on one hand, and then we have Calipari on the other. I'm looking forward to this one. What are your thoughts on that matchup outside of the colorful suits we might see?
I love it. This is what March Madness is all about, and this is what makes this time of year so great, is when you have a rivalry between two coaches that have clearly they're among the best of their generation. I mean, they both have more than 875 wins. They've faced off, so this will be their 24th time that they've faced off against one another. Most of the time there was, Kentucky and Louisville, which is an incredible rivalry. They both have 58 and 54 tournament wins, 13 combined Final Fours among them. And then they're at two different institutions, St. John's and Arkansas, that they, combined for three total years there. So I like, I think this could be a really great matchup. I mean, St. John's, as you said, had a really slow start, but then came on strong, was able to knock down 14 three-pointers. That's not really their strength, but they're getting better at that. And, won by 30, again, the slow start was something, they're down 7-0. We didn't think that was going to be the case. But I think with Arkansas, the way they were able to outlast a kind of a disappointing Kansas team, but also one that is full of really bona fide players, shows that Calipari's got his team rolling too. So I think this is going to be one of those games that comes down to the last couple of minutes and just who executes, who's in foul trouble, that type of thing.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of sweat in the coach's box and hair grease flying all over the place, Scott. That's what I expect as well.
It'll be fun.
Speaking of legacy coaches, we got to wait a few more hours, but we'll see Tom Izzo out there for like the 27th straight time. Like, he's last championship, I mean, it's crazy, was 25 years ago. Like, Michigan State at this point, they're going to take on Bryant. They should win. They're just checking a box right now, right? They're no legitimate contenders.
Yeah, I think with Michigan State, and I cover primarily the Big Ten, all year long, you've watched this team and going, how are they doing it? They don't have a superstar. Jace Richardson, son of Jason Richardson, was on one of the last teams, I think. I think he was on the 2000 team. Jace Richardson's probably their best player, and yet he was a third-team All-Big Ten selection. But this team knows how to compete, knows how to win. Tom Izzo coaches tough, and his best Michigan State teams are very tough. Mentally and physically, tonight will be, should be a layup, but, and then who knows what'll happen with against Marquette or New Mexico. But, I think Michigan State's got a chance to go into the, maybe the Elite Eight. I don't see them as necessarily a national championship threat, but he's as good as there it gets. And you talk about a year where he had, broke the Big Ten record for the most wins, beating Bobby Knight's record, tied the record all time for most Big Ten titles with 11, that would be kind of the icing on the cake to at least get to the Final Four again. And with this team, again, no superstars, but they're as mentally tough and as physically tough as it gets in the NCAA tournament. So I'd love to see them against the Iowa State Ole Miss winner in the Sweet 16.
Hey, Scott, final question for you. Since we're talking about all these legacy coaches and they're in, well, at least the other two are in new places, new faces and new places. What are your thoughts on how the game has just changed with the transfer portal over the past few years? Are we in for smaller tenures with some of these coaches? The older guys are all gone at this point. Are we really in, like, pay for play?
Yeah, it is. It's 100% pay for play. And you're going to start seeing it on Monday when the portal opens, that it's going to be pretty transient. You're going to see players hitting the portal and players wanting to get paid. And I think a lot of old school coaches really struggle in that system because you want to build your team up with your players, the ones you recruited, and watch them grow. And instead, if you don't have enough money, you can't keep them. And that goes for even the great programs at times. So it's that is a challenge, no question. But what it means for the younger group of coaches is that you've got to figure out your system, and it's got to be versatile enough to accept new players. And you also have to kind of keep short memories and no hard feelings. And that was one case in the past. They had no problems with hard feelings. Well, now when you've got these players moving in and out, you've got to make sure that even if he's one of your former guys, you never know what might happen down the road. So I think that's something we'll see, well into the future.
Yeah, the new era and new time, and it came upon us rather quickly, and it's moved, and this thing is going to keep moving fast. Hey, Scott, thank you so much for the time and for the insight. Where can people keep up with you and your work with The Athletic?
Yeah, I'm at The Athletic. You can check me out on my Twitter at, or X, I guess it is, at Scott Docterman, or you could go to theathletic.com, and it'll have a lot of college football and college basketball. So it's kind of a mixed time of year with spring football and the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, see, Deion Sanders is out here trying to change spring football. So change is everywhere, Scott.
Absolutely, and it probably should change, but that's a discussion for another day, my friend.
There's no doubt about that. Appreciate the time, Scott. We'll catch you on down the line, okay?
Okay, thanks so much.
Absolutely. That's Scott Docterman, covers all things college basketball, and as you heard, football, joining us via The Athletic. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. The phone number here is 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You know, speaking of college football, when we come back on the other side of the break, you know, yeah, Deion Sanders does want to change things when it comes down to spring football. By the way, Deion Sanders is also not happy. This man is not thrilled with some of the things that are being said about his son, as his son is, yeah, just about a month away from being drafted into the NFL. I'll share that with you on the other side of the break. Of course, we're going to talk more college hoops as well. But to get an update on everything going on now, things that took place earlier, what we might see all over the place, it's time for a newsflash. Here he is. It's Rich Ackerman.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you oh so much to Scott Docterman for joining us from The Athletic in our last break. Yeah, March Madness continues to roll on. We got a matchup. Well, this matchup cannot end any faster, right? This is a whooping. Maryland is beating up on Grand Canyon 77-48. And whenever this one is done, there's about 3 minutes left to go in the game. It cannot end sooner. Maryland will advance to take on, well, the team that surprised Penny Hardaway's team, Memphis, Colorado State. And Maryland will advance to take on Colorado State. Some of these games, you just look at it and you just go, oh, my God, will they stop the bleeding? You know, I had on Duke, and I saw they got out to like a 10-2 run to start the game. And then I looked up again intermittently, and then the next thing I knew, it was halftime. It was 51-20-something. And I said, man, sometimes you just want the bleeding to stop. It's so much pain. And we'll see what happens as we got a bunch of teams getting ready to advance. This might be another beatdown starting in another few minutes. Hey, Ryan, we got Florida and Norfolk State. What do you think that score is going to look like?
Oh, my gosh. Are we saying that they don't take out the starters in the 10-minute mark of the second half?
Oh, my God. Maybe sooner than that? I don't know.
I say Florida 93, Norfolk, I don't know, 60.
You said 90-60. It beat them up by 30?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll see what the Gators do. This is another matchup. Oh, my goodness. This is going to be an interesting one. We got to wait a few hours before this one gets underway. But UConn, the defending national champs, the two-time national champs, UConn is going to take on Oklahoma. And so Florida will take on UConn or Oklahoma. I hope it is UConn. And then I hope Florida waxes UConn, because I don't think there's a more he's annoying. He is not likable. Dan Hurley has become a villain. He has. All his whining and complaining. And I knew all I needed to know. And there was enough that I knew and heard and saw. But when he yelled at the ref and he's screaming at the guy and he's telling him, hey, I'm the best referee in the whole damn game. Don't turn your back on me. Don't walk away from me when I'm talking to you. I'm like, whoa, okay. That is just a different level of arrogance. And of course, I think anybody, well, most people who are good at what they do, they feel confident in their abilities. And especially in sports, you know, sports is nothing where you just, you know, sit on your hands. It's full of bravado. Whether or not that bravado be loud or quiet. If I got to think in basketball terms, man, Kevin Garnett, one of the greatest power forwards we've ever seen in NBA history. And then on the other hand, you got a guy like Tim Duncan. Well, I was going to say Tim Duncan, Wake Forest, and then I had to go away. Yeah, Kevin Garnett never went to college. He went to Farragut High School in Chicago. But I digress. Kevin Garnett was loud. He was emotional. He wore his heart on his sleeve. On the other hand, you had someone like Tim Duncan, who was like a quiet assassin. I mean, Kevin Garnett has told stories about how he could never get Tim Duncan to break. He could never get him to respond. And so you can be confident, and it comes in two different ways. But then there's another way, maybe a third way, where you are just ridiculously obnoxious. Dan Hurley, after winning two championships, has stepped into the space of being obnoxious. Like, I'm not expecting him to start throwing, you know, chairs and whatnot onto the court, but there's not a press conference where he's not exaggerating. There's not a moment on the sidelines where he's not, you know, screaming at refs. He's just too much. I don't want to say that all of it has gotten to his head, but his responses and how he treats everybody is just, it is a whole pain in the ass. It's like Dan Hurley, and I know his whole family comes from a coaching tree. Well, he comes from a coaching tree. He needs some humbling. Because it comes a point in a time where it's just like, man, just back it down. It's too much. I don't know if getting offered the Los Angeles Lakers job went to his head. I'm sure it did. Winning two championships, I don't know if that went to his head. I know it did. He is just DTM doing too much. And out of every, and who cares about the players? Most of his players, the good ones, have advanced on into playing in the NBA. I don't know if there's a more unlikable guy in the tournament right now besides Dan Hurley. I hope he loses. That's what I say. To say all of that, I hope he loses. What do you think, Ryan? Is he the biggest villain in the tournament, or am I missing somebody? Is it him or Patino? I don't know.
He's the biggest character and tool, you could say, in the entire tournament. But UConn hasn't won enough this year to where they're not super favorites. So people, I don't think, would be like cheering and celebrating if they lose. So I wouldn't say that.
I want him to lose. He's a pain in the ass.
Well, yeah, you want him to lose, but I feel like the majority of the casual viewer of college basketball probably doesn't know what's going on with Dan Hurley right now.
Well, forget the casuals who just filled out a bracket. For people who have an idea, is there an overall bigger villain in the whole tournament? Is there a bad guy? Is there anybody else? Nobody, right?
Not that I know of right now. Maybe one will have a story later in the tournament, but right now it's Hurley.
There's nobody out here tripping people a la, you know, Grayson Allen. There's no bad coach who did something to some kid. There's no villain. It's him. And you're right. They have been bad all year, which has been great to watch. And maybe that's one of the reasons why he's been out here imploding at every chance and opportunity. It's just there's no expectations for them to win a title this year. Good. Great. I just want him to get served up some humble pie. You know, I mean, all things considered, up until what we have right now, Rick Pitino has certainly garnered a lot of attention. I think in past years and in different stops at Louisville, when you think about some of his scandals and, damn it, some guys who have gone to prison as a result of some of those scandals and boosting the kids and whatnot. At one point in time, Rick Pitino, you can look at a lot of people who didn't care for him. Same thing with John Calipari. But I think at the end of these guys' careers and looking at what Pitino's doing in New York with St. John's and now – you can look at Arkansas. I don't want to say getting older has kind of calmed them down, because Rick Pitino can certainly tear into St. John's. I just think age does change folks. Being at the end of the line does change folks just a little bit. And I think Calipari and Pitino, it's not as much hate. There was a point in time where John Calipari was threatening to be choked and killed at the end of a press conference. There's a Boccia, do you remember that?
Nope, I was too young for that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was, I don't want to call that the good old days, but nowadays, I think if you would have threatened to choke and kill a head coach, that you would, you would face some real repercussions. Yeah, John Chaney, God rest his soul, decided to lace into him. Hey, we need more of that. A little less violence, though. We don't need the violence, but the threats are okay on my book, okay? And I hope that Hurley loses. I'll put a punctuation mark on that one. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We are going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, I will give you an update on the games that have just started, some of the finals that we got. And then speaking of coaches, I mentioned this. I'll get to this as well. Deion Sanders, he's a coach, right? Coach at Colorado, the Buffaloes. Deion is not happy with the coverage that his son has received. And Deion is ready to strike back, maybe. He said he might be done taking a high road. We'll get into that, talk more college basketball. And then Aaron Rodgers had a very special visit today in Pittsburgh. We'll get into it all. You're locked in. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.